Greetings, everyone. Welcome to this week's Coffee with Digital Trailblazers. Thanks, John, for the thumbs up. I'm assuming that means you can hear me. Hi, Joe. Good to see you again. David, good to see you. Hi, Terry and Valerie and Ling. We're just going to give everybody a few minutes to join us this week. And this week is a special episode. We're heading into Mother's Day weekend, not just Mother's Day. And I thought we would dedicate this session to celebrating moms in tech. So we'll be talking about just everybody's ideas on how to make work a better place for mothers as they go from, you know, maternity through having child through bringing up teenagers, and you know, just in a prep for this session, I was just looking through various searches on my LinkedIn list and saying, who should I invite to this event? And at literally every search, you should all try to do this. Search your network on LinkedIn, you know, for a particular job title or for a particular industry or a focus area in tech, and scroll through three or four pages of people that you know, and you're probably going to see the statistic play out of just the number of women versus men in the workforce, a problem that, you know, has been given a lot of attention over the last few years. And I think that the numbers are a little bit different. We go beyond women in tech. I think we go into minorities. And today we're going to talk about moms in tech, beyond just, you know, how do we change and address the diversity equation in our companies. But really, I want to focus on how to make the workplace better for moms and dads. And today I'm focusing on moms for their ideas on how to make it better. I've invited five moms to join us today. Hello, Joanne, Heather, Jennifer, Kit, and Liz. All of you have worked in tech. All of us have worked together in different parts of our career. I consider all of you premier digital trailblazers in what you do. And I'm going to turn the floor over to the three of you. And I might chime in with a question or two, but I'm really interested today in just hearing your problems and solutions, your ideas of how to make tech a better workplace for moms and dads. Jennifer, I'm going to give the floor over to you first, your ideas on how to make the workplace better. You're on mute.
Yes, hello.
Hi, Jennifer.
Happy Friday, everyone. So thank you so much for inviting me to this. I think it's such an important topic, and even not just for moms, but for all working parents, because I think that the more that dads, or even if it's same-sex parents, one parent is empathetic for another parent, just trying to juggle all of it, particularly if you have teenagers. I have a son going through sophomore year finals, and it's not fun. But some of the things that I've been thinking about are just small changes. Something that I spend a lot of time thinking and writing about is just leading with a more empathetic environment, having leaders that demonstrate more empathy for trying to balance work and family, and maybe doing so themselves, and also creating the environment that makes it safe for people who need kind of that balance in their day. If it's dashing out for a doctor's appointment or dealing with a last minute emergency or working different hours, just any kind of a more flexible work environment.
Thanks, Jennifer. Heather, how are you? And we've talked about this many times. Heather, you can go off mute. And I'd love to hear your thoughts. How can we make the workplace better for moms and dads?
I think Jennifer hit on some high level reasons that it's essential. When you have both mothers and fathers as addressed, understanding what their unique needs are, it does impact the workplace. You have happy people, you have higher performers. You have good performers, you have growth and performance, financial performance, and innovation. If you look at a mother and what it is that she, and you can say any parent, but let's be honest, mothers have the majority of the caregiving and the parenting of both their children and the elderly. They're multitaskers. They're conflict resolvers. They're empathetic. They're able to tell stories in different ways to have different people understand what it is, the message that they're trying to convey. These are all skills of leaders. These are all skills that will positively and have positively impacted businesses, and there's no reason why they shouldn't continue. I think recognizing that same-sex parents are out there, and some fathers take a lot of the burden. I've been recruiting for very senior level C-suite people, executives lately, and a lot of the women that I've been speaking to are only able to do what they do because they have supportive partners. So I think that having recognition of both sides of the equation absolutely impacts the workplace. But in terms of, in terms of what suggestions can be done, technology can have an opportunity to be more innovative. We can create tools that, and have created tools that have made workplace remote access easier. Tools that can be on your mobile device. These are things that we can continue to work while we're waiting for the doctor visit to come on. So the Zoom can still continue. These are all ways of creating improvements. And I think some of the efforts for the younger women in STEM and now STEAM, which just adds arts into that equation, that starts very early. And making sure that the earlier you get young girls involved in an area, in any area, the more they improve, the more they get hired. The more they get hired, the greater chance that they're going to be in leadership roles. And you want to be welcoming and supportive all along the way.
Heather, there are a few points I'm going to call out just so that anyone can reinforce them. The idea that moms and dads are always multitasking. There's something always going on at home. It's another, you know, it's not BAU at home for most people for most days. I think that's a good point of reflection and empathy. I think how we're using technology, if anybody wants to comment on that, I think that's interesting. And then I think the executive view, right? How do we get more mothers in executive role needs to account for, you know, maybe they don't have somebody at home who can watch the kids all the time. And, you know, a lot of jobs require a lot of travel. So if anyone wants to comment how we make moms more equitable and being able to take executive roles, I think that's also very interesting. Hi, Joanne.
Good morning. Good morning, ladies. Early happy Mother's Day. Before I say anything more, I just want to make it known that on the comments section of the event page, I put a link to the Canadian version of maternity leave and parental leave, because I'm in Canada, and as a Canadian, our programs are different than what you guys have in the U.S., and with an international audience, certainly it differs from country to country and state to state or province to province. That being said, when I had my son, these programs were just at their beginning period. And from that perspective, I would say they have changed a lot. They've improved dramatically and tremendously, which is wonderful for younger women. But we still face the same barriers today that we faced then. And particularly in leadership roles. I mean, I can tell you that at one point in my career, and I was a mid to senior level manager at the time, someone actually said to me, actually it was my boss, who said to me, "Boy, you're gaining a lot of weight, aren't you?" And my answer was, and I happened to be rather pregnant, to which his answer was, "So I have to start looking for your replacements, I guess." And you just kissed your career goodbye. And, you know, there's nothing that prevents me from hiring somebody to replace you even today. And today that situation is a lot different. We're not talking about that many years ago, by the way. The issue at the time was there's an immediate mindset change, whether it's voiced or unvoiced, that situation does exist in your in your career, and you have to learn to plan for it, and you have to learn how to deal with it to continue to work your way up to the top. There was a period of time also later in my career when I was in the C-suite, and even beyond that, at a point where I was traveling 90% of my time. And so one of the things that I would suggest that companies really start thinking about is, now that we all work from home, or many of us work from home, we need boundaries. Women need boundaries that are fixed in stone, that nobody should be able to cross. We have to have mother time. And I think that's the key message that I would look to impart to anyone.
Joanne, scary story. You know, the sad thing is, I still think some of that sentiment exists. It's just bad. I'm sorry you had to go through that. And, you know, I think mothers and women and people need to know that that's just unacceptable. And there's, you know, there should be places and companies to report issues like that. Liz,
well,
go ahead, Joanne.
Yeah, go ahead, Joanne.
Sorry, I just wanted to finish up to respond to your comment. That was then, this is now. Now there are better mechanisms, but I will tell you that about 3 weeks ago, I had a very long conversation with the daughter of a friend of mine who was put in exactly the same position as I was put in. And her employer actually said, you know, we need to put paperwork in place so that you're not, so that we as an enterprise are protected if you choose to take a hike or something happens and you have to have bed rest or whatever while you're pregnant, because this is not the way we do business. And this is 2024.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So, wow. So one of the things I wanted to build on that Joanne has touched on is this whole idea of planning. I mean, all right, so yes, I am a PMO, so that's sort of my nature. But you'd be surprised how many younger people, I'm not going to say women, I think just younger people, are just so against having children because that it's gonna, it might interfere with their career. And I think that it doesn't have to, right? You can actually plan for it very well in a lot of different ways. You can think about, first of all, you can think about who your partner is and have open discussions with that person about how we're going to manage the childcare and how we're, you know, like that's a joint conversation that's super useful. I mean, obviously communication in any relationship is always beneficial, but especially around childcare, right? Having those open discussions before the child comes, or thinking through like what it's really going to be like for your career and talking, you know, actually investigating your company so that you better understand their approach to how they support parents with small children. And, you know, planning it with your leadership, right? I've heard some really, really good stories. I mean, I know that KPMG is very parent-friendly, about how, you know, parents were able to say, okay, we're moving forward, I'm pregnant, and I would like to see if there's an assignment I can take for the next few years that doesn't derail my career, that's going to be, you know, still incremental but doesn't have as much travel, blah blah blah. So taking the reins and, you know, planning, I would say especially with your own partner, because like Joanne said and like others said, that employers it can be fickle, right? You can't necessarily count on them. If they're a great employer, then they have great programs, but not every employer does. But with your partner, really be, you know, super clear about how you're going to manage it as a team, right?
So a similar story, when I was knew that I was going to have a child, I created the maternity leave action plan. I called it the MAP. And my daughter's going to be 32. So think about, 30 years ago, where to get into email or IM, it was like a long code that you had to put in, and it wasn't pervasive. But I started to ask my constituents, my internal customers, after I would do a request for them and do some research, I said, do you know where I'm located? And they're like, no. Okay. And I just asked them a few questions, and I accumulated all that information. So when I was ready to announce that I was pregnant, I had told my boss that I had done this research and I put together a plan and what I'd like to do is work from home 2 or 3 days a week after I give birth. And he said that was great, no problem. And they gave me equipment, and I set up I had a two-bedroom apartment, and I still had caregiving, so I wasn't as if I was taking care of my child. But I had to walk down the block to do any faxing, because we didn't have fax machines at home, and it didn't have email. But what I thought was interesting, after 3 months, there was going to be it was Dun & Bradstreet at the time, and there was a trivestiture, and he said, I think it's time for you to come back to work. There's going to be a lot of changes. And I said to him, did you not think I was working this whole time? Oh, no, that's not what I meant. But it was a mindset.
Wow.
That he didn't think that I was working, or he thought that I was working differently. And whoever was it, Jennifer, who used that term, that was one of the words that I think is so critical. And it is pervasive in an organization regardless. I mean, mental health issues and for not only parents, but just throughout the workplace. But making sure that everyone around you, realizes that you are continuing to contribute, that you have value, that you are succeeding in what you're expected to do, and in many cases, because we have to overcompensate, we're overachieving, so that we have that that awareness by others of what we're accomplishing. So even when you think that you have a good support system in the workplace, you really never know what they're thinking. And that's challenging.
Yeah, I think I'm going to add on what you guys were all saying. It's communication is such the big key to all of this. And everybody has touched on that in this conversation. And it's just one of my big things from my background where I have come from. And sadly, education goes with that too. And I think all of you touched on that too, is, there's employers who don't understand what we're going through, haven't experienced it, come from a whole different background. And I'm going to share something that I thought was really cool. Caroline Ford, this wonderful executive that I've met along the way, wherever company she goes to, she starts a women's group. So there is a place that folks can go, ladies can go and talk together and strategize about how to feel stronger and empowered within the company. And that can lead to other things too. If all of a sudden there's a need for, a mom discussion going, I don't know what I don't know. I'm scared about having this child and how it's going to affect. And then getting wonderful feedback from folks like yourselves who are, already done that, or myself, my situation, and just strategizing and communicating. And I love the whole point of standing up for yourself and being strong. And then it all goes back to communicating with your partner about who's going to be responsible for what and how it's going to work. So the whole planning of the pregnancy and the birth and the after. And then God bless these moms or dads who are raising these kids on their own. There's a whole other level. And so one of the supports, one of the things we were wanted to talk about is what are some supports we can put in the workplace. And I'm a huge advocate for a therapy group. And I know that you can't call it that because it freaks people out. They don't want to be associated with that. It might make them look bad, support group. But if we can bring people together on like a social event or a lunch event or something where folks can have a safe place to talk that this is, you know, this stays here, we discuss here, we're here to help each other. I think that would be a phenomenal way to help moms in the workplace, single moms, dads, you know, whoever is in need of that kind of support.
I totally agree, Kit. And one of the things that I found super interesting and I share with my clients is that the Lean In organization, they offer all kinds of free webinars and group meetings to teach you how to start Lean In Circles. And those are the organizations that will teach you literally how to develop women's groups, whether it's for professional mentoring or discussing topics about how to balance work life, all of those complications. And you're right, I was actually a single parent with my son, with my first child, and his dad lived in a different country, and we weren't really organized the first time around. Thankfully we are now, but in the early days it was really difficult, and I was fortunate to have a manager that was really supportive of trying to figure all of that out. I just wanted to share one other thing I was thinking about. One of my least favorite questions when I was pregnant either time with my kids was, oh, well, do you think you're coming back to work? I really hated that question. I think that the people who asked me thought that they were being considerate, but why would they just assume that I probably wasn't coming back to work? And then the last thing I want to comment is, we have so many listeners today that are men. So I think already this is a progressive group and a great audience, and I just have to say kudos to all the men that are here listening to us and learning.
I would second that. I would also say that, you know, from a proactive point of view, I took my bad experiences and turned them into something positive. And that translates even now, where when it comes to folks in my organization, I will move heaven and earth to try and give them beneficial experiences, things that really make a difference to someone's life. For example, when it comes to gifting, it's a night out with a babysitter on us. Go be with your partner. Go have a really great time. Don't worry about the child care aspect. We've got you covered. We'll put you in a limo. We'll take you wherever we need to. It's all taken care of, down to the minutest details of how old is the child and what do they need. And the only people we bring in are certified ECEs, early childhood educators, if they're young children, and if it's teenagers, well, that's a whole other kettle of fish. I was a single parent for most of my son's teenage years. So I know the difficulties, but what I try and do and what I took from my bad experiences was not only to create circles or lean in type groups, but to really ask the tough questions like, who is your sponsor? Who is your mentor? Who are you going to for guidance in your career within the organization? And what do they think about your new role as being a parent? How are they helping you? And if they're not helping you, why aren't they helping you? Because, you know, this notion of boundaries is like, I hate it more than anything else, getting a business call at a time when I was in the middle of preparing dinner. Like, I'm sorry, that's my time. It's my time to be with my child. It's my time to be me. It's whatever it is. So I started instituting things wherever I could within the broader organizations of 5 o'clock means 5 o'clock. Or 7 o'clock, or whatever that time is, you don't cross that boundary unless it's absolutely an emergency. And when it comes to parents, they are the low man on the totem pole when it comes to having to go out to, you know, back to the office to solve a problem. They are not to be called unless it's absolutely an extreme situation.
Joanne, what you is so awesome about boundaries. I'm sorry I jumped in. You just hit a huge nail on the head. And I think it goes beyond just your boundaries. Well, the boundaries would work, but you can even do those boundaries like you do with teenagers. And I'm like, oh, yes, I have raised a bunch of teenagers. And being honest and open with them, and they know their love, but mommy has boundaries. Daddy has boundaries of, you know, where we have to have time for me as a human to sit and read my book without being disturbed. versus I got to take this call right now. You guys just, you know, don't kill each other. I'll get back to you. To, you know, and when they know and see what you're doing, what you're, and you communicate with them, I'm working a job, I love what I'm doing, or I'm doing this to get here, and I want you to see why I'm doing it, how I'm doing it, because, you know, you're going to be out there working. I want you to be successful, so I want you to see I'm not perfect. I have, you know, trial and error and figuring it out, but if, you know, I communicate with my boss, with you, with my partner, you know, we're all in this together, and it's a community effort, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Kit, I think the word, I'm sorry, the word that I would use for what you just described is a role model. And I think when we bring this back to technology, the more women that can be role models for young women, the better off the industry will be. And we can do that, you know, whether we're using Zoom at home, whether we're having a meeting, a community that we've developed where we have allies that can support us. And the first time I ever heard the word allies in the business environment was for an LGBTQ group that was launched at Dow Jones and Company. And I thought it was such a great expression, because what it really said is, in this, it was one of those business research groups that they have for women and other other groups within an organization. But it's what it was saying is that we're not only here because we all believe the same thing, but we have other people here that are supporting us, that are allies, and that's what you need in a business environment. It's not just what you're doing yourself.
We're not alone.
Absolutely not alone. And I think the more mindset change and the more ways that people can demonstrate and perform in a manner that is repeatable and scalable and is a positive environment, everything will, it's a domino, it's a slow domino, but at least it's heading in the right direction.
And I know Isaac's going to do his in the middle of the hour thing. I was going to ask Jennifer, the group you were talking about to help develop coaching at work, could you drop that in the comment section of the
Oh yeah, it's a great idea.
Thank you.
You mean the lean in.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing that I would say also is, you know, companies miss a huge opportunity by not encouraging women to bring their older children, teenage children, with them more than one day a year. It's not bring your kid to work day. It's here's your new younger workforce. If we bring them in under the guise of interns, we're actually helping you regenerate your workforce, because we're exposing them to what really happens on a day-to-day. They're learning. They're learning tremendous number of skills. They're learning how to be patient. They're learning how to speak to people. And they're learning that the phone, their smart device or their computer screen, is not the only way of communication.
My mother did this with me. Yes.
So I've raised this issue in a couple of different groups and am engaged in sort of trying to create what those programs would look like, where people are getting exposure, so that the other thing that it also creates is you don't get to a point of being ready to enter university and having absolutely no clue what profession you want to go into, and doing, you know, studying for 4 years and spending huge sums of money on your education only to then realize 6 months into your first job that you hate that thing. You hate that field. It's not what you expected it to be. So there should be some sort of a transitional program. So what I'm trying to do is get 3 or 4 different companies where they can actually exchange people's kids over a period of a year, where they do these little stints at each kind of company in a different, completely different kind of job. And it's amazing the results on paper that are coming back. And I would hope more and more companies start to look progressively at what women can bring to the table through their children or even on their own as being mentors and sponsors of Gen Z or Gen A, Alpha, in helping them repopulate the aging workforce.
Joanne, I absolutely love that idea. I just happened to be in New York City a few weeks ago, and it was Bring Your Parents to Work Day. And, you know, you kind of pick that one day and it either works or it doesn't. But it's kind of an artificial environment when there are all these kids in the office. I happened to be visiting Microsoft that day, and the place was filled with kids, which is great. But, you know, if you want kids to really learn about what work is involved in, what their parents are doing, you got to bring them on a normal day and have that a safe space to enable that to happen. I'm hoping we can have some more of these ideas after this quick break. You know, parenting is, you know, we clearly still have problems in that transition from, you know, single to I'm pregnant to what happens right after that. I love Liz and Heather's discussion around being able to plan that openly. But, you know, parenting is 20 years plus after that. And so I have a couple of questions for us to kind of, you know, think through after the break. The first is, you know, digital trailblazers, all of our leaders on teams. I'm so happy to see some mothers and dads on the call today. How do we make it easy for moms and dads working on innovation teams? I have tons of ideas around that, but I'd love to hear, you know, you're a leader, you have a team working with you, you have multiple teams working for you. Some of them are moms and dads. How do we create that space for them to be, you know, excelling at work, but also being a good parent? And then, you know, Joanne, going back to the issue that you faced and introduced here, what happens when that digital trailblazer has to manage up? And there's clearly a change in the workplace needed, either in a culture or a policy. What is some advice we can give people here when something like that needs to happen? So just a couple topic ideas for you to comment on after the break. For those of you who are new here, today is we celebrating our Moms in Tech. Very special episode. I've got five digital trailblazing moms with me here today. I've been staying mostly out of the conversation. Our topics next week, let me bring that up. We meet every single week on Fridays at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Our topic on the 17th is AI era transformation, how Gen AI transforms how we learn and teach. I'm really excited for that one. The 24th, we'll be talking about winning with data science. I have two authors of the book, Winning with Data Science, joining me for that episode. And the 31st, we'll be talking about the humanoid robots are coming, shaping our tomorrow. So thank you for that. Use the link startcio.com/coffee/next-event to be able to get to that. And Jennifer just texted me the link to leanin.org. I will paste that into the comments following up. So my questions, who wants to go first? Liz, I think you were waiting to speak right before the break. Your ideas on digital trailblazers managing down to enable parents on their team and then managing up when workflow changes are needed.
Yeah, so perfect segue, because one of the comments I wanted to make was is that as leaders, when we have folks on our teams who are going to be going on maternity leave or paternity leave, it is actually up to us to create that environment that actually sets the stage about, okay, let's make sure that we have a plan and also a plan for your career. So, you know, regardless of who is on this call, if you have subordinates, this is something that you can take forward. It's not just about, you know, if you'd like to, managing up is fine. Like, I want to make sure that everybody's on the same page and that everything's covered. And I'd like to make sure that, you know, my career is going to, you know, continue. But it's also about the reverse. Like, we can take that as a the same model, but, you know, supporting people and making sure they're not thinking about, you know, and in that conversation, that's when you can hear if someone is actually like, oh, I don't really care, I don't know if you're coming back or whatever. But, you know, without asking that question, but really about, you know, showing your leadership and support for that person and your value of them in the organization and wanting to make it work for both of you.
I think those are such great ideas. And one of the things that I loved at McKinsey is that they had a very specific program called Ramp On and Ramp Off. And so as a mother, a working mother at McKinsey, you travel anywhere between 4, sometimes 5 days a week, usually 4 days a week, you could sort of start to ramp down the days that you were traveling. And of course, you have to do that when you're too big to travel anyway. But then also when you come back from maternity leave, they called it Ramp On. So this idea of sort of gradually getting back into the pace of traveling and or client engagements and taking a more gradual approach. So even after the maternity leave, when you're out of the office, coming back in at a more gradual pace. And I learned from a lot of our women consultants that was great. Not only was it effective and helpful, but it created that empathetic culture. There was an actual policy that everybody had to abide by and in turn learned to value.
More pervasive amongst corporations. When my son was in his early teenage years and I was traveling every week for months at a time, it became very difficult, and I tried to ramp it back, and my cohort really couldn't help me because things were booked so far in advance that, you really can't change that kind of a schedule. But what I did learn was ways around the schedule. So even if I was away, he had a cell phone before it was predominant amongst his cohort and his group of friends. And I would call him on a regular basis, 2 or 3 times a day. I use technology to my advantage, not only on the sell side, but also things like tracking. And yeah, okay, spike culture rears its ugly head, whatever. But I wanted to make sure I knew where he was so that I wasn't necessarily interrupting his day because I was in a different time zone. So I learned to leverage technology, but I also tried to start cutting back, and I became very proficient at layering one trip on top of, like 10 times more engagement in the period of time I was away, and removing a trip. And you can do things like that. You can also become very proficient at planning your trips in ways that were basic organization. Like, for example, I never took bags with me. I engaged with FedEx. You're responsible. Here's the luggage. It'll be outside the door. I don't want to deal with it. I have better ways to spend my time. And so that I could get in and out of airports faster, to packing, to, talking to hotel managers, to everything I could think of that would allow me to spend a period of time with my child every single day, whether it was talking about homework or helping him or doing whatever I needed to do, so that, we become very proficient at these things. Corporations don't think about our personal lives more than, okay, we're away from work or we're at home working, but how they can help us, give us a better way to commute on these business trips, give us time to be with our family on these business trips, make that a life skill sort of session that at least women can learn how to do these things in ways that save time and make them more organized so that they can function better as parents.
Oh my God, I love that FedEx idea. I love it. I used to use, I would just tip the hotel and let them, if I knew I was coming back and forth quite a bit, I would leave a bag. I would, I'd use the local laundry, use the hotel laundry, and I'd leave my clothes there.
Yeah, I had a schedule where I could do it repeatedly, and I made friends with all the hotel managers. I gave them my list of requirements. It better be there when I get there, period, full stop, because I would always use the same places. But this is a skill set that nobody teaches men or women who have to travel. We all figure it out for ourselves. But the companies that we work for should really go down that road, because we're helping them. We're representing them. Give us the tools that we need, whether you're male or female, if you're a road warrior, there's so many things companies can do to help you become better at it and also give you more time with your family.
That's so true, Joanne. And one of the things I just remembered, another really cool policy at McKinsey is that they started, it was a recent addition, was to for free FedEx breast milk. So when women were pumping on the road, they could have their breast milk FedEx back home to the baby, which I thought was pretty cool. Very innovative.
It is. It's absolutely. I mean, I don't know about you, but during the time that my husband was not, you know, he was in a stationary role, meaning he didn't have to travel, I basically divided parenting chores between here's what I can do, here's what you need to do, so that my son was never really disappointed. Like, I rarely, if ever, made one of his soccer games. I was usually in another country. So there was no way I could be there. But what I could be was on the phone. What I could be was, you do this with your dad, you do other things with me, but I was always on the phone to say, he scored a goal in soccer? Hooray. You know, those kinds of things. To give you a little bit of flexibility to be able to do that so you can incorporate child events into your work life.
Oh, absolutely. And that's how the whole communication, that the child knows you're out there fighting for the family and, you know, being a part of the team to make the family function, but they're important and I'm going to make this work the best way I can and I love you. And that just builds so much. Wow, that was a great idea. And all of these ideas are amazing. And that's where I advocate for the group, for the meeting, for the time to share all these strategies. Because, wow, the creativity of you all is fantastic. I never thought about FedExing my clothes somewhere.
Yeah, that's brilliant. That's brilliant.
You know, one of the times that I was in outsourcing and traveling to India and the Philippines for business, they needed me to go. My company needed me to go. And I said, I can't. I was going through a custody battle. And I said, there's just no way I can leave the country. And he figured out that I could go in between a hop. The kids were with their father at this one period of time. I literally went to India and back within 5 days. I left on a Monday morning and I was back on a Friday night. So that whatever was being taking place was compacted into that 5 day window. And I got to see the Taj Mahal also, so it was not totally work. But it's taking the responsibility sometimes on our own, pushing back to the company and saying, okay, this is what I can do. I can't do a full month, I can't do several weeks, but I can go for the essential portion and I can still get things accomplished. So it's giving a little bit of credit to, you know, the business so that they're willing to work with us. And I think one of the things that we have to remember, and this is where my recruiting mindset comes through, is there's ways of starting to infiltrate an organization so they learn that there are better hiring practices, that you're not the people taking leave for, whether it's for elder care or for caregiving, you know, for childcare, that you don't only have to look at the chronological time that people are working and what they were doing. Start looking at some of the ways that you can see and apply the other skills that they had into the interview. So it's not all, well, you didn't do this and you didn't do that, and what is that gap in time, and you know, you don't fulfill the requirements. You have to really train the hiring managers to look for other skills instead of just, you know, do you have Ruby on Rails, do you have this or that or something else. You want to engender a positive work culture and making.
She hit the mute button again.
Uh-oh.
Sorry. I'm using my hands. Pervasive behaviors that people don't really think about. You know, the jokes, the old boy network jokes, or maybe it's even just a sports reference that someone who's not a sports person, whether man or woman, has no clue what they're talking about. So there's a lot of mindset shift that can go on at the hiring level. And then once somebody gets into an organization, and we've talked about this many times on other calls, Isaac, the hackathons, the shadowing, the outreach programs, I think adding Joanne's idea of, you know, sharing kids so that they can see different environments and different companies. These are all ways of helping the young, soon-to-be employment labor pool in getting the skills that they need to perform better for companies.
I totally agree with you, Heather, and I have to say, just to emphasize what you started saying, what you were saying at the beginning, you don't get what you don't ask for. And I think women are trained from a very early age to start with an apology. We apologize for everything. I just wanted to ask for a little time, or I just wanted to ask for this, or is this okay? We're trained so young to apologize for the things that we need or the things that we want. And this is one of the things that hold us back with getting to the executive level. And I know with my daughter, I try to teach her not to do that, to just jump in. But asking for those things in the same way that you ask, like, I'm in a custody battle, I'm not leaving the country, and they found a way to make it work. The fact that you asked for that, you got that. Had you not asked and you just, like, jeopardized your whole case or something, you know, that could have been terrible, or you just didn't do the thing for work. But this way, everybody got something that they wanted and needed, and it worked. So the whole idea of really advocating for yourself and just always remembering you don't get what you don't ask for.
Oh, true. I read an article recently that we as females sometimes forget to ask. I mean, forget we don't need to ask for permission. We just need to ask.
Oh my gosh. What you said about apologizing, when I was pregnant and I had to, when it was time for me to tell my boss that I was pregnant, I walked in and I the first thing out of my mouth was, I'm so sorry.
Oh gosh.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's terrible. Well, and when I was living in London, the expression for a woman being pregnant, they say she's fallen pregnant. You know, it's automatically like an injury or an illness. Like you've fallen ill.
So, ladies, I have a question. Listening to this, it just made me think, and, you know, Joanne, Jennifer, and Liz, I'm hoping you'll chime in here because you've worked with some very large companies. And, you know, I'm thinking back at the time when I was a CIO at mostly medium-sized companies. One in particular, there were five of us on the leadership team. Three of us were parents. Two of us had young kids. One had teenage kids. The other two did not. And this notion of playing a role of a sponsor or a spokesperson or an organizer for other parents in the company, it never crossed my mind. There was no responsibility for me outlined or that I ever thought of to create an environment that was safe and a thriving environment for parents. And I'm just wondering, do larger companies have this today? Are there executives who are role model parents who are taking those roles, or is that still like an uncharted area that we have to talk about?
I think, Isaac, it's an uncharted area. There are certain industries that are more prone to have these kinds of programs in place or be very willing to listen to the idea of having them. I mean, you know, I started at IBM, but then when I moved into industry, I worked for pharmaceutical companies for the first part of my career, a long stint, several of them. And one of the things that I noticed is the reason my logic for going into that was slightly different, but the pharma companies themselves seem to be more willing to listen to these kinds of ideas because they're in the business of selling wellness and mental health and emotional wellness and family and things like that are considered more valuable. Other industries don't necessarily look at it the same way. So it's a by sector, by industry kind of situation. But in the larger companies, I think that they are more willing. They were the first to adopt things like coaching programs or bringing coaches in and bringing training in from the outside that was not specific to the business. But I think women generally tend to advocate first for their own need and then for the larger group of women And the only thing that I would say different to Liz and Kit and Jennifer is that I didn't ask for permission. I did apologize, but I never asked for permission thereafter. I just said, I need this. Take it or leave it. And there was one situation where I basically said, well, then you can leave it. Go try and replace me. And not to say that my ego is that large or that anybody is not replaceable, but it was at a tipping point in a particular program, and a week and a half later, I got a call that basically said, oh, come back. You know, we're sorry. We'll figure it out.
Gotta stand up for yourself. That's fantastic.
Fantastic. Yeah, yeah. Fantastic.
If you don't
stand up, they did figure it out.
They figured it out very quickly because it was costing them a lot of money.
I just made a quick call to my sister who works for a large data collection company, and of the business research groups that they have, because I thought this was the case, you know, they have African-American and Asian and whatever, LGBTQ, they have a parents group as well.
Really?
Yes, it's something that they started, and in fact, she's in benefits, benefits communications, and they've implemented a new program, and we're talking about mental health. Apparently, there was a number of suicides of the children, young adults within their organization, and they took it upon themselves to create, as one of their additional benefits, is a mental health support. So it's important, I think, for people not to be stigmatized by things that are problematic, and not that you have to have air all your dirty laundry, but if there's a way that your tragedy can help others, and in this case, the company took from a corporate-wide perspective, how can we support the need for mental health within our organization so that it doesn't become a bigger problem? Let's nip it in the bud.
That is so exciting and beautiful.
Yeah, I would have to agree with Joanne that I know that the pharma sector is very into family support. You know, they build these huge campuses, and usually there's like a childcare facility right there. So you can take your children into work, drop them off, you know where they are, you can always pop over. Certainly not in financial services, there's no way, in consulting. It's very much, sure, that's nice, but it's your problem. Kind of thing.
You know, when you talk about sorry, Joanne, go ahead.
Sorry, Heather, I didn't mean to interrupt you. But that's what needs to change, Liz. We are human beings, and time with our family is not something that we take lightly. And I think corporations need to understand, and part of it is the work from home mentality of who's your sponsor and who's your mentor and what the differences are between those things. Who is there supporting you in the organization? It's not going to be HR. It's going to be your circle, your team, and that has to be a culture shift to say, hey, you know, if there's a daycare facility on campus, going to have lunch with your child is an amazing opportunity of bonding, and every parent should have that opportunity. If you have to drive an hour to go find your child at the end of a day, nobody's accounting for the stress of the day rubbing off on your relationship with your child. I can't tell you how many times my son said to me, I really don't think you love me that much because you're never here. Well, I'm trying to support a family of three. Give me a break. But over time, he learned and he changed, and he got to understand that. In one certain instance, I was able to have him in a care facility that was very close to where I worked, and I would drop in on him. But not every parent can do that. And I think corporations with work from home have to come to the point that they realize that we are all human after all.
Yeah. Yeah,
I know we're getting low on time, but I'm going to add another little layer of thought to all this, because we've been talking about being moms and raising kids and all that. Now, some of us are getting to the point where our parents are aging, and we're becoming the parents to our parents. And
sandwich generation.
That's a whole other layer of moms that need to support. Yep.
On that note, I think we're finding that more and more people are taking breaks in their careers. It used to be you only really knew about people that took a break because they were maternity. Now people are taking breaks because they have to care for the elderly. It could be just a sick partner that they're caring for. When I interview candidates and I ask them, okay, there's a break in your career here. What happened? And they said, you know, there was no other way that I was not going to spend the last 6 months of my father's life feeding him because that's all I could do. And to me, that shows a character trait that is far beyond any work that he may or may not have accomplished in that 6 month period. So being able to recognize those aspects and those qualities in a candidate is really important. I wanted to just address another comment, again, bringing it just back to the technology. And when we had caregiving, I had someone in my home. I had a nanny that took care of my kid. She came and went every day. You could bring your child to a facility. Now what's so terrific is that technology has enabled us to, quote unquote, drop in, as you said, Joanne, and see what your kid is doing. If there's a problem, the daycare can contact you and you can have a FaceTime, a real-time feed that you can see constantly what's going on. It's a protection for your child. It's mental health for you. If there is a problem, the kid can always, you know, say, Mommy, I'm here, you know, hi, honey. So that technology has developed and has been pervasive amongst, you know, within the childcare facilities, as well as you can do it even if you have somebody at home. You can have the ultimate baby monitor. That technology has enabled this to happen.
I agree. I mean, in my day, I worked with Disney and another corporation to try and put trackers in the labels of children's clothing because they spray, particularly when it's a big group in a daycare setting. If they wander and there's, not enough adults to the number of children, there was a certain circumstance that prompted this, but I was absolutely hell-bent on the idea of children's clothing should have trackers, period, so that you can always know where they are, because not every five-year-old has a cell phone, but you need to have a GIS locator. And that's something that I worked for about 2.5 years, trying to get them to put it as an RFID label in the child's clothing. And there were, you know, certain types of clothing and certain ways that it could be done, but ultimately it was a product that I wanted to bring to market. And I look around now and I see the number of children that are straying away from their caregiver during the school day, and I say, why isn't this not the law? Because I think we would have a lot more children not go missing than if we did, than if we didn't use technology to our advantage.
I agree with you, Joanne, and I know we're wrapping up, so I just want to say, ladies, it has been fantastic having this conversation and sharing these thoughts and ideas, and I am hopeful for the future because of the stories you guys have shared or some of your past experiences, but then hearing the hopefulness of companies starting to get it and change and realize if I can help take care of my employee from a mental health, a family, all this, I'm going to have a loyal, productive employee. And happy Mother's Day, everybody.
Liz, you're going to get the last, Liz, get the last word in and then I'll close.
No, I was just saying that there's been a couple of, I went to a seminar recently that specifically discussed your LinkedIn, and it was about marketing yourself, but there was a section on how to address breaks in your career on your LinkedIn page. And so I will, there's actually some resources for that. I will stick in the chat after this call.
Thank you, ladies. Happy Mother's Day. Thank you, Joanne, Heather, Jennifer, Kit, and Liz. Nadia, I see you raising your hand here, but I'm closing up. We do our coffee hour every single week, and I hope you can join us in a future episode. This week, fabulous conversation on celebrating moms in tech. I think first and foremost, what I heard is moms, make sure your voice is heard, particularly if you're being wronged or you need something. I think that's really, really critical for everybody to say and hear. I'm hearing a lot of support groups that different companies are offering in some industries better than others. Seek those out. But what I didn't hear, quite frankly, and maybe Joanne, maybe we'll cover this in the Father's Day version of this, is, you know, what's our executive responsibilities here and to stand up and speak on behalf of mothers and fathers working in our organization? So maybe we will cover that in on the Father's Day sequel to this. There's a number of links that people left in the comments. So go to the comments tab on this page at starcio.com/coffee/next-event. You'll see some feedback from David and Christy. Joanne has left a couple of links. I left Jennifer's linked on LinkedIn. Liz is leaving a link in there for updating your profile around some breaks in your career. So all really good advice. If you have other advice for parents, do leave it in the comments in here. I think it's useful for everyone. Thanks to all the moms and dads who joined us this week. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers here. And we will be back next week, Friday, the 17th, for our discussion on AI era transformation, how Gen AI transforms how we teach and learn. Happy Mother's Day, everyone. Time with your kids and family. And I will see you all next week. Have a good weekend.